Today, I want you to just go ahead and take your scriptures, turn over to Matthew, or there in the New Testament, First Gospel Matthew, chapter 25. And we're going to be in this chapter, this specific text, the entire time. So you can go ahead and turn over to that. Now, last week, we began this sermon series called Generosity. And usually when you hear the word, especially in church world, when you hear generosity, it usually is followed up by money. And we're not talking about money today at all. Matter of fact, let me share the definition of generosity. I like this. It says, generosity is the selfless willingness to give, whether it be time, resources, encouragement, or love, without expecting anything in return. We don't give so that we get something back. That's the beautiful teachings in the life of Jesus. It is more blessed to what? Give than it is to receive. But we give with absolutely no strings attached. We give because that's what Christ has asked us to do. That is his example. So we're going to focus today on four words. And so I'd like you to just repeat these words with me. First, relationships, responsibilities, rewards, regrets. That's the whole sermon. You want me to just pray and get out of here? That's the whole sermon. Let's talk first of all about the importance of relationships. Generosity in regard to relationships. Matthew 25, verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and, here's the key word, entrusted his wealth to them. You may look at the top of your Bible, and some of you have different headings. Mine says the parable of the bags of gold. Some of you, it may say the parable of talents. So let me just share with you what a talent was in the days of Christ, and this will help. When we hear the word talents, we think about people that are extremely great at something or are just really good at something. They'll say that so-and-so is really talented doing that particular thing. But in Bible times, it has a heavier meaning than that. A talent actually was a measurement. And that talent in that day is a servant would have to work 20 years to receive. You ready for this? One talent. One. So when the wealthy man is leaving and he leaves these talents behind, he's entrusting them with an enormous amount of resources. So that helps. It's actually from that word talents in Hebrew that eventually we landed on the word talents for gifts and ability. But that's important as we go through this parable today, just how important talents are. And we know this, the wealthy man is leaving. He doesn't tell the servants, and there's three of them, he doesn't tell them how long he's going to be gone. But this is so important. He wants them to know, I am coming back. Matter of fact, what's really important is, as you get to this chapter, Matthew 25, it's important to actually go all the way back, because there's a whole series of teachings, to Matthew 22, 23, 24, 25. And there's a theme all the way through it. And the theme is this. Jesus is proclaiming, I am the Son of God, to all the crowds, to all of the disciples, and to all of the religious teachers. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. And he already knows the rest of the story, that he's going to die on the cross and the resurrection and the ascension, and he was going to return. So he let them know in every one of these stories and parables, he wanted them to know the king, which is myself, the king is going to leave, but he will return. So live every day as if the king is going to return. And then he tells these beautiful parables. Well, this one talks about this landowner who has all of this just amazing talents, resources, amazing resources, and he leaves those with these three servants. And this is so important. And we need to put ourselves, as I've shared this before, anytime you read a parable, look, first of all, where's God and where's Jesus in that parable? And second of all, where are you in the parable? Whenever he would teach Jesus to the crowds, to the religious teachers, to the disciples, he wanted them to find themselves. So he's saying, now, there's an older servant, who received 5 talents, one received 2 talents, one received 1. He was wanting them to find themselves in this beautiful story. And at the very heart of this story, it's important. Jesus wanted them to know there is a huge difference between the owner and a steward. An owner who has all these talents owns it all. It's his to do whatever he wants with. That's important that there's an owner. But there's a steward. The steward does not what? They don't own it. They are managing it. Does that sound familiar? Everything that we have, think about this. Everything that we have, we lift up and praise God for those things. The home that we live in, the cars that we drive, everything that we have. Think of it in terms of how can I use this to glorify God? Everything that we have is not ours. It is His. And that changes our entire perspective. And at the heart of that is relationship. Now, I'm really big in technology. Anybody on staff will tell you I'm on the cutting edge of technology. But I know on Facebook, my daughters had to explain this to me a few years ago, define the relationship. Because they would get online and they go, oh, so-and-so's going with so-and-so. They define the relationship. I think that's kind of weird to define your relationship. But I think all of us, in essence, are called to define a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, everything that we do, even with our talents, our gifts and abilities, we are willing to give those things to the Lord if we have the right relationship with the Lord. Matter of fact, Jesus himself said in the Sermon on the Mount, no man can serve 2 masters. You have to decide who's number one in your life. And it is not your spouse. Your number one relationship is Jesus Christ. And that is the foundation. We live, here's the kicker, we live every day as if Jesus is coming back today. Would that change how you'd live today if you knew at 6 p.m. tonight Jesus was coming back? You think we'd live a little differently? I don't think we would complain because our fries from Culver's was cold. You know what I'm saying? There's things in life far greater and more important. But what if we actually lived with that urgency? And it all starts with relationship. Do you remember the second word? Responsibilities. Look at verses 15 through 19. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag. Each according to his, and this is where we get the word talents, ability. And then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went out at once, and he put his money to work, and he gained 5 bags more. So also the one with the 2 bags of gold, 2 more. But the man who had received that 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts. He settled the accounts with them. So let's just talk a little bit about salvation. Isn't that an awesome thing to talk about? Matter of fact, folks, right after the 11 o'clock service, we have 2 more baptisms. That's just cool. You can clap for that. That's actually good stuff. What's awesome is when we give our lives to Jesus Christ and we make that commitment to follow him, we realize right out of the gate, we are not saved because we are good enough. Can I have an amen? Yeah, I know that's a weird thing to amen to, but we're not good enough. We are saved by grace. Does everybody agree with that? Yeah, we're saved by the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, the unconditional love. That's why we have the ability to be saved. We're not saved by works. But we are called, after we are saved by grace, we are called to have faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we don't just have faith in Christ the day we decide to follow Christ. We decide to have faith in Christ every day of our life. And when we do that, we are walking in the newness of life. Now, Jesus, if you remember, promised the disciples, and they didn't understand this for a long time. He said, now, I'm getting ready to leave. They begged him, why would you leave? And Jesus said, no, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to leave you with my presence. the Holy Spirit. And they're confused. It is confusing if you think about it. But I'd love it in the Great Commission, don't you, that Jesus said, go and make disciples of the world. And you need to know this one thing. Lo, I am what? I'm with you all. That's the Holy Spirit. So when we surrender to Jesus Christ, he says, here you go. And he gives us this gift. Now, can you believe that we all have this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit? Can you believe there are people that never open the box? How crazy is that? That here's the Holy Spirit. Jesus is like, here it is. And we're like, I don't need that. Can you think about your kids on Christmas morning saying, you know what? I'm satisfied. I'm happy. I don't need to open the presents. What would you do? They would go for therapy. I mean, come on. What do you mean? You realize what we put our lives at stake to get these gifts. Here's the Holy Spirit. He's saying, here it is. And here's where it even gets better. He said, not only am I giving you the Holy Spirit so you can be in my presence. You ready for this? Along in that Holy Spirit is this thing called gifts. In other words, you have been gifted. I have given you specific things that you can glorify God and you can serve others at a deeper level. You can live a life that you've never dreamed of because of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. And these spiritual gifts are unbelievable. Can you imagine if we just, first of all, individually, I want to ask you, have you really surrendered to Jesus Christ and the leading of the Holy Spirit? What he can do with one life is amazing. What he can do in a day is amazing. Go online. There's a guy named Bo Miles, and he's from Australia or New Zealand. He is he's an adventurist. And so he decided, this is about a 16-minute documentary. Here's what he did. He thought, what could a human being do in 24 hours? And he started with the premise of, what could a human being do if they ran a marathon and then spent the rest of the time doing stuff? So he ran 3 miles to start, and then every hour he would run one more mile. That was his marathon. And then he had a whole list of projects that he completed. Let me read just a few. He glued Helen's keyring, evidently broke his wife's keyring. He made an awesome outdoor table. He braced a wood bench. He chopped firewood. He cooked homegrown vegetable soup. He baked all day. He fried up a sizzling breakfast. He planted 30 trees and 10 shrubs. He wired and hung 2 pictures. He ran a lap off this cliffy area. He mowed lawns. It said that he continued to cook. He loved that. And he wrote a lame poem. How many of you ladies are thinking, I want to marry that guy? Now, it's crazy when you think what a human being is capable of doing in 24 hours. Think back in your life. Have you thought about times in your life, what you did in 24 hours? The Wilsons had a wedding here. Did you guys do quite a bit in a 24-hour period of time? I'm here to testify. You did. And think about those 2-3 days before a big vacation. Good times, right? Think of what we are capable of doing when we are pushed to limit. Man, we can get so much done. You want to hear something even more amazing? Imagine what you can do with others. When there's a team that comes together, when there's a group that comes together. It's amazing what one person can do. It's even more amazing what a group can do. Margaret Mead was quoted to say this, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." Can you imagine what Westside Community Church could do if we were completely sold out to the moving of the Holy Spirit? Seriously, can you imagine? So when you hear something like $750,000, so what? It's all about God. God is always moving. And he says, I need you to realize that your talents need to be used for me. The responsibilities are to work and to serve him. In fact, I am so proud of the staff. They put together this beautiful board in the back. And on that board, what you're going to see on that whiteboard are ministry opportunities. All you have to do is, it's self-explanatory, all you have to do is take a slip of paper, and there's very specific things that you can do to help. Now, what I love about it is when you look at that slip of paper, it again gives you very specific things that you can do or things you just have questions about, and you put your name on there or your email, and the team leader will get a hold of you. And when we all start working together, incredible, incredible things can happen. Here's the third word. I love this word. It's the word rewards. Say that with me. Don't we love it? Rewards. Verses 20 through 23. The owner comes home. And the man who had received five bags of gold brought in the other five. And the master said, "You entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I've gained five more." And his master replied, say this with me, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Just pause there. Do you see what's going on? Master comes home. The servant that he invested the most and entrusted said, "Here it is." And he looks at the accountability pages and he starts looking at the ledgers and he goes, "You doubled. You doubled. When I left, you just diligently worked. Man, well done. Good and faithful servant. Good job. Because now I am so rich." And he goes, the second guy, what happens? Well, exact same thing. He goes, "Hey, I'm looking at the ledgers, and you know what? I gave you two bags of gold. You doubled it. Well done, good and faithful servant." And don't you love, if this was a story of brothers instead of servants, that he lifts up the middle child. Do we have any middle children here? You're angry. I know that. We lived for years with the middle child. I'd always hear, it was either you give Rachel all the responsibility or Danielle never gets punished. And bitter. I know none of you are bitter about being a middle child, but the middle servant did a great job. And the master was so pleased. Now remember, as he's telling this parable, who's listening? His disciples, the masses, the crowd, and who else? The religious leaders. They're not real happy right now. They've already figured the story out because they know there's another servant, don't they? But I want you to think about those words. I don't know how many funerals I've had over the years, and I've shared this text because of those three words: good, faithful, servant. Good, faithful, servant. Good. Goodness is uprightness of heart and life. Psalms 23:6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of our life." He wants us to be good. That's really as basic as it gets. He just wants us to be good. And I don't know about you, but I like being around good people. I just like that. People who just seek to live a good life. Does that mean perfect? No. None of us are perfect. And here's, you can write this one down. Good people have bad days. Amen? Sometimes somebody will complain about somebody and I'll say, okay, let's take the whole spectrum of their life. Did they have a bad day? They did. Guess what? We all have. How many had a bad day this week? Go ahead and raise your hand. Yes, most of you are just not telling the truth. But yeah, we all have bad days, bad moments. But we are seeking the goodness of Jesus Christ. And then I love the word faithful. Good and faithful. How important is faithfulness in relationships? Think about that. It's the foundation of every relationship, isn't it? So I had something really cool that happened Friday night. My son Caleb, our middle child, when he was in we moved here when he was in junior high. You know, that's not an easy move, moving your kid in junior high. And I hate to, some of you that are part of the Bachelor Bulldog family, I'm just telling you my first impression. Is at night, we drove by Bachelor, and my son, I remember looking out the window, and he goes, "That looks like Alcatraz." And I couldn't lie, I'm like, kind of does. I thought there might have been a moat some alligator, you know. But what's interesting is when he was like seventh grade, and we already felt bad because we moved from this really small town, and this was a big jump. He met these two guys. And they just hung out all the time. And they looked like, it was the craziest thing. One of them ended up being 6'7". My son is my height. And they were close all the way. And I remember saying, that's so cool that he's got a good buddy, or two good buddies in junior high. And then came high school. All the way through high school. And we were like, that's rare. And then they were buddies all the way through college. At the wedding, there they are. And we're talking to the parents going, do you have friends like this? No, no. And right before, 5 minutes before the wedding, one of the parents pulls me in and goes, I don't even know why I'm doing this. I didn't run this by my son. I just feel like it's the right thing to do. John, will you just pray for all of us? I've thought about that friendship that they've had. And what is at the heart of it? It's just faithfulness, because here's what they all know about one another. They drive each other nuts. They're very aware of each other's strengths and weaknesses. But I've watched this at the worst days of their lives. I can bank on this. They'll all be there for one another. Sorry. Jesus wants that for us. He just wants us to be faithful. He just wants us at the heart of who we are to just be faithful. Good, faithful, and I love that, servant. He wants us to have an others first heart and attitude. That's what Jesus did. He wants that from us, that we are servants, that our values, you know, we talk about values. Our values should be, we strive to be good, we strive to be faithful, we strive to be a servant. That's our values. That's what matters. Now, I got to tell you, I'm just making a confession as a preacher. Preachers love threes. You've probably picked that up. Am I right, RJ? They love their threes, and they love to end on a happy note. Why? That's called job security. So anyway, you want to land happy. But if I were going to be true to this parable, this is not where the story ends. It'd be great, wouldn't it? If he just said, oh, you guys did an awesome job, and sloppy, lazy servant here had a bad day. So we just need to help him and take the money away. No. It's not what happens, does it? Matter of fact, what we see, look at verses 24 through 30. The servant, and this comes out of the message. The servant given 1,000 said, Master, I know you have high standards and you hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid that I might disappoint you. How stupid is that? I'm afraid that I might disappoint you. So I found a good hiding place. And I secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound to the last cent. The master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew that I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest that sum with the bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. Take 1,000 and give it to one who risks the most, and get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on a limb, and throw him out into utter darkness. Whew. Now remember again who Jesus is talking to the crowds, to the religious leaders, to his own disciples. And he said, listen, here's a couple of guarantees. I'm going to die, and I'm going to come back. Guarantee number one. Guarantee number two for every human being is there will be a judgment. And you need to live every day as if I'm coming back today. What's sad is there's a lot of Christians that don't think there's going to be a judgment. And there is. And there's a day in that judgment that we are held accountable for our lives. Now, I don't want to stand before the Lord and say, I know you gave me this talent, I just didn't have time to get around to it. Or I know I should have just served you, but I didn't do that. Or I know that literally, now, here's why he was so angry with the servant. You were intentionally disobedient. Not only did you not serve me, you buried the money. You buried the money. And I began wondering about the title. He said, this is the wicked, lazy servant. Why was he so just apprehensive about doing what the master wanted him to do? And I really believe at the bottom of it is he used the excuse of fear. Wow. I tell you, fear can cripple us. And some of you right now, you might be struggling with a really difficult decision. And I'm telling you, you're listening to the wrong voices. You're not listening to the Lord's voice. And you're leaning into fear. There's always going to be naysayers. There's always going to be people tearing you down. Don't listen to them. You listen to the Holy Spirit. He gave us a spirit. He promised us in 2 Timothy 1:7. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. God wants to do amazing things with each and every one of you. Do not be paralyzed by fear. Listen to the right voice. I read this quote. An athlete won't judge you for working out. A millionaire won't judge you for starting a business. A musician won't judge you for trying to sing a song. It's always the people who are going nowhere that have something to say. Don't listen to that voice. It'll ruin your life. You lean into Jesus Christ and you be led by the Holy Spirit, and he will take you places you've never dreamed. You will meet people you never dreamed you'd meet, and you'll be able to do things you never dreamed you could do. You just have to surrender to the right master, Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why we're here, folks. That's why we're here. That's why I absolutely love every week when we take communion, because it gives us a chance to examine our own hearts and our motives, because Jesus knows our hearts and he knows our motives. It gives us a chance today to surrender and say, thank you, Jesus, that you were good and you were faithful and you were a servant. Thank you. Let me be more like you. And we have the tables up here that you can take communion. Just come up here. And if for any reason that is a problem or a struggle, if you just raise your hands, we will bring communion to you. We also want you to know that we always have on this area the prayer altar that just gives you a chance to just come up and just share with God where you're at. And we've got folks that will pray with you if you would like to have some prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We praise you for who you are and what you have done. And Lord, you've called us to serve you, to take all of the things that you have given us and through your Holy Spirit to serve you and to serve others. And Lord, we thank you for the communion today. And Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness and your faithfulness and your servant heart that gave your life for us. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.